Well, my name's Debbie McKinnon, and welcome to Going Deeper. This is the PTL class where we have Karen Yarnell today, wife of Malcolm Yarnell, or I should say Malcolm is husband of Karen Yarnell. It all works. So we're really excited today to be here on Mother's Day to have this conversation about what Malcolm was talking about, the mother of Jesus, Mary. And I love that he said, you know, we are talking about Mary. I did bring a friend to the church, and when was that? Easter. And I think that Pastor Mark mentioned something about Mary, and we were walking out. She goes, well, I was raised Catholic, and I was told Baptists don't talk about Mary. And I thought, well, yeah, we do. We do talk about her.
Yeah.
So we are going to talk about her.
Yeah, we are.
So, Karen, what do you have to say this morning to kick us off?
Well, today is Mother's Day.
Yes.
And so I do want to just say a quick word. I know Mother's Day for a lot of people is joy, but for mm-hmm. some people it's not. And so this year, due to COVID, I know that we have some that have lost their moms. Mm. And then I have a dear friend who lost her little baby girl recently. So today is a hard day. And some may not have ever had children. And you're going to tell a story about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was just really beautiful in the sermon to see that whether or not you have children, or whether or not your experience is good, the Lord redeems everything and uses it for its glory. It's not limited.
Mm-hmm.
I have a dear friend who's been in ministry her whole life, and she's never been able to have children. But she has nurtured hundreds of women that have gone into ministry, and she has been a mother to them. And she's a wonderful example of what Malcolm was saying. Those who believe God's word are part of the family of God, and we have a wonderful opportunity to nurture and to minister, even if they're not our own. And I also want to say, too, that we often study the men in the Bible and we learn lessons from them. But I think even men can learn lessons from Mary.
Oh, yeah.
And her character and how God worked through her life. So it can be a hard day, but it also can be a beautiful day because of the redemption of the Lord.
Amen.
So,
that is so
tell your story.
Well, I never had my own children, and I always wanted children, and so I got married at the age of 37, almost 38, and had not had children, and I married a man who had three, and so I had to make the decision, was I going to love those people, those children that God put in my life as my stepchildren, as if I had those children, because that was what God had for me. And I think I could go back and say how I really reckoned that with God. But I do remember at a point where I said, Lord, when I knew I was going to marry Tex, and I knew that we were not going to have our own children. And I said, but Lord, I've always wanted children. And it's almost like in my spirit, God said, you will always have children in your life. And so now I have eight grandchildren that know me as Grammy D, just as if any other grandmother that they have. And so God has done that. So in a family way, I have my children, my grandchildren for sure. But like you just said, and like Malcolm mentioned, that when Jesus said, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? Anyone that follows me and loves the Lord, or however you put that.
Mm-hmm.
But I've had many spiritual children.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So the story I was going to tell that I was telling Karen about, I didn't even think about this being Mother's Day, and I traveled this last week to Indianapolis to see one of my spiritual children graduate in sports medicine. She's got a job at the Indianapolis Colts on the sidelines, and she's a sports trainer. So anyway, she had lived
That's
with
awesome.
Me for a time after Tex had passed away. And anyway, so I'm there. I travel, and I go an hour in the dark on I-70 to Terre Haute, Indiana. Okay. Anyway, and I go to this hotel, you know, one of the Marriott smaller ones, and I got in there. All I wanted to do was go to bed. So I got there. The guy didn't have my name right, so I'm sitting there going, okay, it's this. And this young woman walks in, and she's 30 years old, I come to find out. And she's loud, and not that that bothers me, because I can be loud. I know. Yeah. And she's loud as having been overserved loud, if you know what I'm saying. So she's got a big bottle of Cuervo Gold margarita, and she is telling the guy behind the desk, "You're great, and you'll help her figure it out. And by the way," to me, she says, "I don't want to drink alone. Will you sit with me?" And she goes, "Because my husband dropped me off. He wants nothing to do with me because I can't have children." Mm-hmm. And I just looked at her, and I went, "Well, honey, yes, let's go sit down. You can have your Cuervo Gold margarita, and I'll sit here." And she had been in the Army since she was 19. She was now a paramedic with the fire department. And she liked to drop F-bombs a lot. And here's what I've learned. Don't act shocked. We don't need to. I just listened to her, and she was saying all kinds of things. And she said she had a mother that was, you know, different names for the mother, and that she was a, I'll spare the words, but she said her mom was a Christian, but not in a good way, she said. And her mother said she was going to go to hell if she didn't say she loved Jesus. And here's what I said, because I'm listening. I'm just listening to all this. I said, "First of all, that must be really hard to have your mother tell you these things." And she started to cry. She goes, "Yeah, it's very hard." I said, "And second of all, it's really bad theology." She goes, I go, "I'm a Christian." I said, "So I know that Jesus sees you and God sees you. And I hear your brokenness," because she began to tell me that she had cervical cancer. And that's why she couldn't have children. That her husband cheated on her. She was just this broken young woman. And I would love to tell you that she sat there and said, "Thank you, I'm going to accept Jesus, and I want to know." She didn't. But she told me she knew about all these other gods that were just as important as God, as my God. And so at the end, at 1:30 in the morning, I said, "Here's what I know, Ashley, is that God loves you, that if you'd been the only person that had walked on this planet, he would have sent Jesus to die in your place. And you're broken, I'm broken, we're all sinners. And if you would ask him to show you who he is and trust him for your brokenness, he will make all things new." So when you said that earlier, just a minute ago, that he redeems all, and he restores, he makes all things new. She just said, "I don't know where you came from, but will you be my friend on Facebook?"
Yay!
And, sure. And so anyway, I wanted to tell that story because one thing she asked me, she goes, "Did you ever," I told her I hadn't had children. She said, "Did you ever regret it?" I said, "Here's what I know. God fulfills his purpose in each one of our lives. And for some women, he gives children. It doesn't mean they have less pain or less longings, because sometimes children break their hearts. And some women he chooses not to give children, and it will break their heart, but he will redeem that and give them lots of children if they will just submit to him." And that's been my story, and I'm sticking to it. But one thing I said to Karen last night, just through our communication, was sometimes Mother's Day can produce two emotions in me. I can feel awkward when they say, "Stand, all mothers stand," because I feel like an imposter in that regard. But I know that's the enemy. That's the enemy, because God has put me in the place of where he put me as a stepmother and a grandmother to these eight grandchildren. And but it always happens. It always, that Mother's Day, it's a weird day for me.
And I have a lot of young friends that haven't been able to have children, and they sometimes will just stay home on Mother's Day because it's really hard to come.
I have friends that do that too.
And it's celebrated. But you're not an imposter. I loved how Malcolm brought that out, that you know, I've never made that connection, but it's in Scripture that he says that. His definition of what being a mother is not tied to whether or not you have biological children. The definition of a mother is someone who obeys God's word and loves the family of God. And you know what? There's so many people that I saw this on the New York subway. There was a sign that said, there are so many people that are lonely. Put down your phone and look around.
Oh, wow.
And I thought, you know, there's a lot of women and men that can be fathers, but women that can be mothers to these other people that are, especially the young people. There are women in this church that just want a mentor so bad. Mm-hmm. They want one so bad. My daughter-in-law just had our first grandchild. And it's, of course, been all the wonderful things. But also, it's been a real reminder of how hard it is. And I had forgotten. It's been really, really hard for them. And how exhausting the lack of sleep is. And all the things you can't figure out. This week, we had several things happen with the baby that we couldn't figure out. And he can't tell us. And now he's got fever and ear infections. And, he can't tell. And it's just this constant care. And so they need others that will come along and mother them and encourage them. So there's opportunity for Jesus. First of all, he gets to define what motherhood is. Mm-hmm. And he wants to work through all of us to nurture one another in the body of Christ. So I love your story with Ashley, and I'm going to pray for her because you showed the love of Christ. You showed the person of Christ and his heart to her. Mm. And I just believe that God's not going to let that go void. I pray he just makes those words ring in her mind till she can't get away from it.
That's my prayer.
You know, and others will come say
scripture.
The same thing.
You know the scripture, 1 Timothy, is it 1 Timothy 2, 5, that by no other name...
Yes.
Can a man be saved but through the person of Jesus Christ?
Yeah, there's no mediator but Christ.
No mediator between God and man. But because her other thing was, you know, talking about these gods.
Right.
But I love that because I've seen that scripture two or three times since Thursday. And I love that because that's our identity, is who Jesus says we are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so much, when we do it, without thinking, we get our identity from our family, we get our identity from our job, we get our identity from who we're married to or our children, all those things. But our identity, we're image bearers of God. And male, female, we're image bearers of God.
That's right.
And so this young woman, who I just thought, man, she's tough as a boot.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, whoa, you know, God, can you save her? Is she too far? No, she's an image bearer of God.
That's right. That's right.
So,
and the fact that he placed you in and you listened to the Holy Spirit, even though you were exhausted, and just listened to her.
Mm-hmm.
As Mark says, listening looks a lot like love.
Yeah, yeah.
And you showed her the love of God.
I certainly hope so.
It's wonderful.
But listening is like the love, and God's teaching me to do that better.
I know. You know, I don't know if it's part of my personality and part of my age, but I just always think I have an opinion, so I'm trying to listen better
too.
Yeah. Are you taking notes?
Yeah. Okay, she gets to come back. I love that.
I love it.
Yeah.
Well, today in the sermon, something that really struck me, looking at Mary, I love her hymn that she sings.
Oh,
let me just read that again. Malcolm read it. Let me read that again. And one thing that's fascinating to me that just dawned on me about a year or so ago, Luke says in Luke 1, he says at the very beginning, these are eyewitness accounts that he's investigated. So Luke went around and talked to Mary and to the disciples and all these people that he's writing this history of Jesus about. So when we read that Mary pondered these things in her heart, she said to Luke, I just pondered what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
She told him.
Mm-hmm.
She told him the song that she sang to the Lord. This is her eyewitness account of what Mary saw happening in the birth of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just makes it so real to know these are her actual words to do that. And so in Luke 1, she said, Mary says, my soul praises the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, because he has looked with favor on the humble condition of his servant. Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed, because the Mighty One has done great things for me, and his name is holy. His mercy is from generation to generation on those who fear him. He has done a mighty deed with his arm. He has scattered the proud because of the thoughts of their hearts. He has toppled the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has satisfied the hungry with good things, and he sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering his mercy to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he spoke to our ancestors. And so I made a list of who God is in this.
Oh, this is good.
And, you know, just thinking about this very young girl, she could have been as young as 13. And so I wanted to look at who she was and who she declares God to be. And this is a real encounter. Remember that they're part of the people of Israel, and so they're looking. They know a Messiah has been promised. So every woman that has a boy wonders, is this going to be the one? In the those who are devout faith looking for the Messiah, they're waiting for the Messiah to come.
I never thought about that.
Yeah.
That's really true.
And now here she's like, oh, this is happening, and I've met the Holy, you know, the angels come, and here's the Holy Spirit, and all these things are happening. And so you hear her saying these things, that God is great, that he's our Savior, that he looks with favor on those who are humble and fear him, that God is holy and has shown mercy, that with power he has scattered the proud and toppled the mighty, but he has exalted the lowly. He satisfied the hungry, and he kept his promise to the people of Israel. And so in that, I also noted Mary, that she is humble, her humility before the Lord, that she trusts in God, and that she's willing to receive from God whatever he has for her. Isn't that a place we can all long to be?
Yes.
That, and Malcolm pointed out, not only in her heart was she willing to receive, but whatever God would do with her body, she was willing to say, "What all of me,
full
love
surrender.
The Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, with all of her body,
yeah.
all of herself." So she was so humble, and she just trusted him so beautifully and was willing to receive. And that was kind of my takeaway from the sermon, is that I want to be like Mary.
Yeah. Full surrender.
Yeah.
And he brought out too, you know, it wasn't as if she was a Roman princess that could be hidden away and, you know, whatever. She was the lowliest of the low, young. And he brought out the fact that so she did not have means. There was not, you know, the Brazos Pregnancy Center, right? She didn't have, she had a religious community, he mentioned, that could shun her.
She bore shame.
She bore shame.
Probably her whole life.
Yeah, because they probably always questioned. And then she probably thought even Joseph might put her away. So she had three things. She was poor. She had the religious community to come down on her and maybe lose her betrothed. And yet she surrendered to God. So many of us, me included, you know, will say, well, if only I was in this position or that position, or if God had come through for me on this or that, I would believe him or I'd trust him. Or I'm afraid to trust him because what if he takes away, fill in the blank, you know? What if he causes me not to date that person over there that I really want to date? Or what if he doesn't let me have that job that I really want? You know, and we just need to look at Mary because she's full surrendered. To have God bring about a baby, I mean, that in and of itself, and then the whole outwardly cultural things that she has to bear.
Yeah, we, you know, in America, I don't know about y'all, but I feel such a pull your bootstraps up. If you're not doing well, it's because you're not working hard enough.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. You can. It's a land of opportunity. And so sometimes we transfer that to the Lord and we say, I'm so glad God's will for me. My destiny is to be a, you know, have a wonderful business, or my destiny is for this, you know, God's destiny, because God's plan for us is good. But God's good plan for Mary meant she had to have her heart pierced with a sword. He told her that.
Yeah.
Your heart will be pierced with a sword. God's good plan for Mary was to walk a really hard road. But he was always with her. And look what he did through her. Through her surrender to him. And I love on the cross. It's always touched me on the cross that Jesus said, Mary, behold your son. And she pointed to John. And she, mm-hmm. he said, John, while he's on the cross, John, behold mm-hmm. your mother. Mm-hmm. So even though the Lord, the Father asked her to do this, to bear his son, as she's walked this journey and taken the son away, he gives another son. God is so good.
Mm-hmm.
God is
and
such a redeemer.
And just that, that physical so taking care of her
mm-hmm. yeah.
while he's on the cross. He's yeah. thinking about his mother.
Yep.
Yeah, that's really powerful.
I know.
Something I was thinking about as you're talking about the whole idea of how we surrender to God and we think, oh, I know that, you know, we love to say this, and I've said it, and I still say this when something good happens. We have to say, oh, I'm so blessed.
Yeah.
God has blessed me. And
yeah.
Mark brought this out about blessed are the poor in spirit. Mm-hmm. Blessed are they that mourn. And what do we know about Mary? Blessed among women. Right?
Yes, yes.
And so blessed yes. doesn't mean easy or rich mm-hmm. or all things good, mm-hmm. You know, are gonna, we're going to flow easy. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would love that,
mm-hmm.
but that's not how it always is. So blessed can mm-hmm. mean a hard road.
Have I mentioned the Corrie ten Boom story that I just love before in here? The Corrie ten Boom, as we know, was sheltered the Jews from the Nazis, and then went to the concentration camp. She was 50 when she went into the concentration camp, lost her sister, lost a lot of her family, and came out. And then the Lord used her to share the gospel around the world. And so when she was 82, I think it was, she got her first home. There was her home. And so she was standing in front of the home or whatever, and as the story goes, and the man, the builder, or whoever was with her said, Corrie, isn't God good? And she said, oh, but God was good in the concentration camp. God was always good.
Yeah.
And she was another woman that never had children of her own, mm-hmm. but how many people did she nurture and
mm-hmm.
love?
That's right.
So, and that's Mary's testimony here. God is good. God is great. Mm-hmm. God is our Savior. God keeps His promises. He shows us grace and mercy.
Amen.
That's Mary's testimony of the Father.
That's
yeah.
Really good word.
Yeah.
Good word. Well, anything else that you want to leave us with today before we let these fine folks and the folks, well, they may not be going to brunch right now, but anyway.
Did anyone have any comments? Or, yeah.
I have a question, and yeah. it has to do with the Catholics and their lifting Mary as a deity.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't even think about this again until Malcolm mentioned this morning, and I've never heard anybody address this, as to his brothers being half-brothers, or if mm-hmm. they were actually, Mary was their mother. Do you have any comments on that? Because one of the, my understanding, one of the issues with the Catholics mm-hmm. is they had to lift Mary mm-hmm. to that level mm-hmm. because of the controversy that she wouldn't have had other children mm-hmm. after Jesus
mm-hmm.
was born.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you have any yeah. insight on that? Or any?
Yeah, I don't really know. It's like dominoes, you know, when you have one thing in place, like you said, then something else has to be true. So, for instance, the doctrine of Immaculate Conception, as I understand it, and I have wonderful godly Christian Catholic friends, but I don't agree with them on this doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
And so the doctrine of Immaculate Conception, I used to think that Jesus was born without sin, but it also means that Mary was born without sin, so that she could not pass sin on to Jesus. And that's not true,
mm-mm.
because she would have been born with sin just like everyone else. And then to deify her, they probably did say that she didn't have any more children, but according to Scripture, she did. And James and Jude, both in the Bible are the half-brothers. The books of James and Jude were written by Jesus' half-brothers.
Half-brothers meaning that their father, obviously, their father was Joseph, and Jesus' father was the Holy
yeah.
Spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Mary would have been their mother. Does that make sense?
Oh, it does. Perfect
yeah.
sense.
Yeah.
I just, you know, it's just, there's, when he said that and mm-hmm. said, you know, we don't know, I'm like,
Did Malcolm say that?
Yeah.
He said we don't know if it was children by a previous marriage of Joseph's, maybe because he was a lot older than Mary, so maybe his wife died.
I don't know. I've never heard that. He didn't say that in the first service, so I missed that.
Okay. Let's see. Maybe, yeah, he did.
I have a Catholic friend who still believes that Mary was a virgin.
Yeah, right.
She never had relations with Joseph.
Jesus called all of them brothers. So did he mean it in the form of family brother or spiritual brother?
Yeah.
So I have Catholic friends that base it on that. Mm-hmm. I have a question, and I never thought about this too much until this morning, especially as you mentioned, grandparents. What is said much? There's not much said about Mary's family. Did Jesus have a grandmother?
Well, you would assume he would if she was young, wouldn't you?
What do we know about it?
We don't know her name, right?
Well, probably the whole family went to the temple when he was young.
Yeah.
They would have been traveling with the family and expected him to be with the family.
Mm-hmm.
But
you know,
we don't know anything.
I guess I equate it to today's world because grandparents play such a big role in their grandkids' lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, they list her. One of the genealogies lists her father. One of the genealogies, as I understand, they're kind of, people have different takes on them because they're kind of a little hard to understand, but one of the genealogies is Joseph's genealogy and one is Mary's.
Right. Yeah.
And so we do know who her father was. And I guess we would know who her grandfather was.
I have a drawing that someone did of Rahab, Bathsheba, Esther, somebody else, and it's titled The Grandmothers of Jesus, because through the line, you know, that those women were in the line of Judah.
Yeah.
And so, because both Mary and Joseph were from the line of Judah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, But as my Jewish friend will tell you, that Judaism, being a Jew, is passed down through the mother.
Yeah. And they're thinking that it's passed down through the mother.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. There's not a lot told about his family, actually. I think there's so much, as John says, if we could write everything that Jesus did, the books would fill the world. But what I've written is what you need to know to have salvation.
Mm-hmm.
So, to have eternal life. So, I think there's a lot that we don't know. And I think there's a lot that is spoken in just, like, there's several places in the Gospels where Luke says, and the women traveling ministered to Jesus. Well, there's no expounding on what that meant, but we, from early church stuff, it was like they funded it, they provided, they cared for the disciples, you know, all that kind of stuff. So they were there. Mm-hmm. Family was important.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know what Malcolm said. I've never heard him say that before, but my understanding is that that James and G were his actual brothers, and Joseph, because there's no other husband mentioned, unless Joseph could have already had children. I don't know.
Maybe the first workshop we all attend in heaven is the genealogy of Mary and Joseph. Do you think we're going to have workshops?
I don't know, but I think it's going to be super fun.
It is going to be fun.
It's going to be sweet.
Yeah.
I was thinking this week how it's so hard to say goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
And in heaven, we just won't have to say goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
We just feel no more pain of separation.
That's right.
You know, so good question. I'll find out more about that.
I think I've told you all about the woman who said to me when I was really mourning Tex, and that I couldn't believe that he was no longer here.
Mm-hmm.
It was the second year after he passed away, and this woman said, "You know where he is, right?" And I thought, is this a trick question? She said, "Yes, I do. I'm very confident of that." She goes, "But do you know where he is?" I'm like, "Tell me, where is he?" She said, "He is at the feet of Jesus, worshiping continually, fully whole, fully content and satisfied." And here's what she said to me: "If you want to be close to Tex, get at the feet of Jesus." I can't even tell that every time I cry, because it really, the nickel dropped when she said that.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you want to be where your loved ones are, because that's where they are, they're worshiping Jesus continually. Isn't that great?
That's good.
Love that.
Yeah.
Okay, shall we make it a wrap today?
Well, We're going to have prayer requests.
Okay.
But thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Karen Yarnell.
We'll end the recording.
Okay. Why don't you pray?
Yes,
we'll end
I'll
the
pray.
Recording.
And we're going to end. Okay. Father, we are so grateful to you for your love, for your omniscience, for your omnipresence, for all the character that you are, your holiness, your mercy, everything that Karen listed out that Mary sang about. We right now want to lift that back up to you and just mm-hmm. acknowledge you and know that you are the supreme one that has all of us in your hand. And God, that nothing happens to us, nothing is by accident, Lord, that you are in control. And we thank you for the mothers, both physical mothers, the spiritual mothers, mm-hmm. Father, that you have created us to be and that are in our lives. And we are so grateful for them. And Lord, I thank you for Karen and thank you for her ministry and her mission with Malcolm and how they have had such an influence on so many. And we thank you for their physical children, that one being here today, Lord, and we thank you for the ones that are on the mission field even as we speak. And we praise you, and we pray that this day would just bring you glory, and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.